Dr. Ryan Stanton with ASAP Frontline today here talking with Dr. Mark Rosenberg. I just got off a plane. He just got off of a train. So we're going to sit down and talk here in Washington, D.C. about this new program at his hospital. He's at St. Joseph Health System in New Jersey. And if you haven't heard about what's going on, then one, you don't watch CNN because he was on there. And you probably don't have a newspaper because it seems to have gone across the country in terms of the program with opioids. And we're all dealing with it now. There's a lot of stuff going around. It seems that medicine is finally starting to take the bull by the horns with this. Of course, Congress and legislators are as well, and the interest groups. And so a lot of information there. And we want to talk about what you did. So first, kind of give us a background, how this took place and your role in it.
Well, thanks for having me here today. This is kind of exciting. It's a beautiful day here in D.C. But more importantly, I guess, why did I come up with a plan to deal with opioids? It was 2014, and I was really concerned that maybe we weren't doing the best for our patients who had chronic pain. We had a lot of sickle cell patients who came in constantly asking for a large dose of opioids, and we had a lot of people who I thought we were under-treating for pain, who had acute pain, and really wanted to come up with a plan. And my goal then was to come up with an opioid-free emergency department. I was lucky enough to start an acute pain fellowship and get one of my physicians into it, and our goal was to start this program that we were going to call ALTO, Alternatives to Opioids, and we were lucky enough to start it in early January 2016.
So, and I mean, at first glance, you hear opioid-free emergency room. I mean, I think it sets a lot of people back. I mean, I think we all realize that we over-prescribe, and, you know, you feel like almost a candy man in any given shift, especially if you have a lot of folks coming in. We feel a lot of pressure from administrators who want to make us, you know, boost satisfaction, boost pain scores. And when I do talks on opioids, I still refer back to the letter that I saw coming out of residency from one of the groups in a state, in a bordering state, that they were having poor scores and thus they needed to write more opioids. And with all that pressure now, so what does this mean, an opioid-free emergency room? What does this program entail?
I'm glad you asked me that. That was my goal. That's not what I achieved, however. What we achieved is an emergency department that uses opioids as a second choice drug, and we use alternatives first. Let me just go back to the beginning and what this is all about. I'm a doctor, you're a doctor, and I was trained to stop pain and relieve suffering. And when I would manage pain, all I had in my toolbox that was really of any great quality was opioids. I could also give Tylenol or Motrin, but for the most part, if I wanted to deal with pain, it was a matter of giving opioids. So this program was really to add more tools to the toolbox, more drugs, to use alternatives. And there's several different alternatives that we use. We're using ketamine, we're using nitrous oxide, we're using IV lidocaine for kidney stones, gabapentin, COX-1, 2, and 3 inhibitors. And the goal of the program, Ryan, is to really address the receptors that are causing the pain. It's different in each illness and each complaint. Somebody with a kidney stone, for instance, will have complete relief of their pain with IV lidocaine, better than if I gave them morphine or Dilaudid.
And this really excites me because it seems like, you know, we come in more and more, I see, or I have seen in the past, the easy button. You know, people come into triage, all of a sudden Dilaudid shows up on their chart, and it frustrates me to no end because, one, we're just pedal to the metal right off the front end there on a medicine that doesn't actually necessarily, in most cases, at all treat the problem, may mask the problem, but also achieve something that I can't maintain when I send somebody home in terms of a treatment. So finding a treatment that actually deals with the problem and not one that simply masks it, and we hope to get the patient so drunk that they don't remember that they have a pain complaint. So what happens in your emergency department when somebody comes in with a pain complaint? How do we get into this this approach, and how do we come up with what we're going to use for the treatment?
You know, there's really only a few diagnoses that are very specific that work well with the ALTO approach. One of those, for instance, is kidney stones. So if somebody has kidney stones, IV, Toradol and lidocaine will alleviate their pain. And frequently, to my amazement, they actually pass the stone. And I believe more frequently and more consistently in the emergency department than they did before. More study needs to be done there. Back pain. I used to just always give Percocet and Valium, and now what I find that I'm doing is giving trigger point injections and Motrin, and people are having better results and just doing amazing. For fractures, we're using ultrasound-guided nerve blocks and intranasal ketamine to deal with those, or possibly nitrous oxide. So how do you do this? This required a full year of training of my medical staff and my nursing staff. We had to deal with getting nitrous oxide back to the emergency department, get approval to use intranasal ketamine. So there were a lot of steps, but once we achieved permissions to use those medications, the rest was fairly easy. My docs were thrilled to have more tools, more weapons to deal with acute pain.
Oh, absolutely. And I would love to. I mean, they always make fun of me in my emergency department because we tend to run out of Toradol. If I have several shifts in a row, we run out of Toradol. But of course, the drawer for Dilaudid stays full the entire time. And so I think, you know, I'm super excited because I want other options, other approaches, things that we can do, things that have research behind it. And a lot of the folks, especially in community medicine, where there may not be a program that is pushing you to stay on the cutting edge of medicine, you may not know that these things are out there. Where we are now with ketamine, I think a lot of people still see ketamine as simply a pediatric sedation medication. Whereas it's coming out now that it has more and more uses every single day. The intravenous lidocaine, things like that. Clearly all this stuff has some great research behind it. I guess my question is, if somebody wants to know about it, where do they get the information? Where do they figure out where some of these treatments are and what will work?
Well, I think, to my amazement, when we started the program January 4th of this year, I really thought that we were going to develop an educational program. Possibly we'd be able to teach that at ASAP and really get the word out there. But the press and the legislators and CNN and NBC Nightly News have been more excited about this and has taken up a lot of time that I hope to train my colleagues. I'd like to tell you two stories, if I could. One is a guy by the name of John, who is a recovering heroin addict, who actually started using heroin after he had a back injury. He was an EMT, had a back injury, went to an emergency department and got a few days worth of Percocet for his back pain. Went to his workers' comp doctor, who prescribed him 90 Percocet. By the time he finished the 90 Percocet, he was really dependent on the drug. Started using heroin, but went through recovery. And he came to St. Joe's, to my hospital, because he knew he would have an opioid-free approach to the management of his pain and didn't want to go down that spiral again. Also want to tell you, because you just brought up ketamine, of a 78-year-old woman who came into my emergency department just last Friday, who fell and had a fractured hip, an intertrochanteric fracture, severe pain, but had a little bit of a dementia problem as well. Gave her some nitrous oxide, some intranasal ketamine, gave her a block to her to the area of pain, to her fracture site, and she had complete relief of pain. She was able to converse with us without any problem. She wasn't nauseous from the medication. She wasn't loopy or more delusional because of the medication. She did great. She eventually went to the OR several hours later. But this is an approach that every emergency physician can do with their patients. Think about this. Nobody would get addicted to opioids if we never gave them a first dose. So this is a very simple concept. Manage acute pain aggressively using non-opioid approach, and also not give the first dose of opioids, because then the patient will never risk getting dependent or addicted to opioids.
Yeah, we've got my TV show, we just interviewed a high school friend of mine who ended up addicted from a prescription of Percocet she had got for a migraine. And she went through all those steps of Percocet and heroin and has now been sober for 10 years and now helps other people get out of that. And it is as simple. It can be as simple as us writing a prescription that may have been indicated, or we felt was indicated at the time. It's not about writing the 250 or the 500 Percocet. It may just be 10 Percocet. If their mind is wired in that way, or they are at higher risk for addiction, that one simple, even low-dose prescription may be enough to kick all of this off, and that's exactly what happened to her. You can check out that story on the StantonMD site on Facebook, StantonMD, or on YouTube. We have that interview there. We have two that are going to be available. And it's if you want to see how this affects people, you need to get there and see that, because these are real people throughout the country, and we have to do everything that we can do to help prevent the problem moving forward and then help those recover or have recovered from getting back into that problem. Where can people get more information about the program that you have?
I think it's very simply to email me and I'll get you information. We have a course that's coming up in the winter that'll be in right near New York City, so I'll be able to tell you more about that. But you can reach me at mrosenberg@asep.org. Rosenberg, so it's MRosenberg at ASEP.org.
All right, so make sure you contact him, because I definitely want to get the information. So I'll get the information from him. We'll make that available as well, because we want to pass that on. I want it in my emergency department. We want it throughout the country, ways that we can treat pain better than we're doing now. Not even cutting corners, but actually finding ways that adequately and appropriately treat the cause and symptoms of pain, and not just covering them up with something that could ruin somebody's life. So, Dr. Rosenberg, I really appreciate your time. Do you have anything else that you want to pass on? Any other information for the listeners, our physicians, our PAs, nurse practitioners out there, that may help them when it comes to treating pain and dealing with pain in the emergency department?
Just one last comment. I read a statistic the other day that said 17% of the patients leave the emergency department with an opioid prescription. I'm not sure if that's right, and I know it varies from hospital to hospital. But if that number is even close to that in your hospital, and if we can cut that down in half, we're still going to prescribe opioids because there's still conditions that require it. But if we can cut it down from 17% to 10 or 8, I really think together we can manage this opioid epidemic, at least from the emergency department and from our profession's point of view. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, so mrosenberg@asep.org, mrosenberg@asep.org. You can contact me at ryanstantonmd@gmail.com, ryanstantonmd@gmail.com. And until next time, hope you'll really take this to heart and hopefully pull it into your emergency department. But until next time, I'm Dr. Ryan Stanton, and this is ASEP Frontline.